Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom of Daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, the last two words on the Daf, but before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a topic heading introducing this section of Gemara. We've written Dinoi Shel Rabo. We'll see Rabo's law, Rabo's point. Yesh Lechalek Bein Mitzas Tkiya Bebor. We are going to make a distinction in this Gemara between the blowing of a shofar partially in a pit and partially outside a pit. Lemitzas Tkiya Koidem Alos HaShachar versus a case of part of a shofar blowing before sunrise or before dawn, and the continuation of the blowing after dawn. In other words, one shofar blast is made, the beginning of it just before dawn, and it continues into the moments just after dawn. We should point out that the mitzvah of shofar, like many other mitzvos, are binding or applicable only during the daytime hours, daytime being the time after dawn. Prior to that, if one, let us say, blows a shofar at night, so he doesn't fulfill his shofar requirement. The Gemara. Omar Rabo. We continue now at the top of Chof Ches Amud Aleph. Shoma, a person hears, Miksas Tkiya Babor, Miksas Tkiya Al Sfas Habor, Yotza, part of the shofar sound in the pit, and the same note, though, continues outside the pit. He fulfills his requirement. The Rashi at the top, Shoma Mitzas Kibbor, Ko Salka Daitoch, the thinking of the Gemara at this point. Now, this is going to go undergo a change as we go through the Sukya, as we go through the topic. But initially, the thinking is, Dehochi Komar, that thusly the Gemara is teaching, that Rabba is teaching, Hoya Oimed Hu Bisvas Habor Vachaveroi Tekea Babor. V'yotza lachutz, yotze b'chatziat kia. That we're talking, first of all, about two people, and we're focusing right now on someone who's standing outside the rim of the pit, and he's listening to someone that's blowing a shofar, starting the tkia note, starting it while in the pit, and rising out of the pit, where the listener hears the shofar, and he will be yotze with the second half of the note, of the tkiya that he hears. The second half, the half that's outside, that's blown while the blower is outside the pit. We continue. Miksas tkiya kodem shalmud ha-shachar, or miksas tkiya l'achar shalmud ha-shachar. Someone is listening to someone blow the shofar, the note starting before dawn, but continuing after dawn, lo yotza. He does not fulfill his shofar mitzvah, his shofar requirement. Omar le Abaye Maishno. Abaye asks Rabo, what's the difference? The Gemara answers, Hosam, in the case of the Amud HaShachar, Deboino Kulot Tkiya B'chiyuva Valeka. There, we require the entire Tkiya to be blown, in a state of chiyuv, of obligation, and that's lacking. The beginning of the note was pre-dawn, and that's not an acceptable time. The Gemara asks, Hocha nami bo'ino kula tkiya b'chiyuv avaleka. Here in the case of the pit, we also require the entire tkiya to be done in an acceptable way, and that's lacking. In other words, the beginning of it was blown while in the pit, and the person sitting outside the pit doesn't fulfill his mitzvah that way. The Gemara says there's a qualitative difference, though, between these two cases. Hochi hashta. How can you compare these cases? Hosam laila lav zman chiyuva hu klal. In the case of the pre-dawn sound, that is a time that one does not fulfill his obligation whatsoever for nobody. No one fulfills their obligation pre-dawn. Hocha, in the case of the pit, bor mokom chiyuvahu la'oysan ho'imde babor. The pit is not a situation of non-fulfillment. Other people that are located in the pit, listening to the shofar blown while in the pit, fulfill their obligation. So the pit is a place of shofar obligation, at least for those standing in the pit. Therefore, even if you're standing outside the pit, you're not hearing something that is totally void. So, now, what's the point, so to speak, for the person standing outside the pit? What do we see from this din of Rabbah? We see that you can fulfill the shofar obligation by hearing the end of the note without hearing the beginning. That's as far as the person standing outside the rim of the pit. So it's true that for people standing in the pit, the shofar sound is kosher for them. But this fellow is standing outside the pit, and here's simply the end of the note, the end blown when the blower rises above the surface of the pit. So now this sets the stage for a discussion that, by the way, is very reminiscent of the discussion we had in our previous show on Daf Chof Zayin. Before we begin the Gemara itself, though, we glance at the side where we have a mivneh, a structural note. A bow tie is featured, and there are Roman numerals 1 and 2 that accompany this piece of Gemara. These are shlavim, stages by Vonas Divrei Rabbah, stages in trying to understand what Rabbah wants to teach. Stage 1, Ha'oimed al Sfas Habor, person who's standing outside the edge of a pit, V'yotze, he fulfills his obligation, B'soif Hatkia Shel Chavero Hatkeh Babor, V'oile Michutz Olo. The fellow who's listening fulfills his obligation with the end of the tekiah note that he hears blown by the fellow rising from the pit. Stage 2 is a case of hatokeah li'atzmo, someone who's blowing the shofar for himself. V'hischil b'bor v'oile misham. He starts blowing for himself while in a pit and rises as he's blowing. We will notice in the Gemara, after the bow tie, a couple lines later, triangles appear in two directions. And under our Mivneh heading, we've noted this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Kushios, with the triangle point facing up, there will be kushios on the number one approach, and then the inverted triangle introduces answers. So we'll have a back and forth discussion, questions, answers, following from the number one approach of Rabbah. So now the Gemara. We described someone standing outside a pit listening to a shofar blowing, starting in the pit, and as the tekiah note was sounded, the blower rose above the surface, and with that, the listener fulfilled his tekiah obligation. Lememra, the Sova Rabbah, this then shows us that Rabbah holds Shoma Soif Tkia below Tchilas Tkia Yotza. If a person hears the end of a note without the beginning, for example, this guy standing outside the pit and he hears the end of that Tkia blast made by the blower who is leaving the pit, he's Yotze, Umemela, and it follows from this then that if you hear the beginning of a tkiah note without hearing the end, you'll also be in fulfillment. Toshma. Well, we're now going to raise a question. Toka borishona, a person blows a tkiah that precedes the trua. Every trua, staccato shofar sound, has to be preceded by a solid straight tekiah blast and followed by a tekiah blast. So this source tells us about someone who toka b'rishona u'moshach b'shnia k'shtaya. The second tekiah following the trua was a tekiah that concluded the Malchios series of tekiahs, and also was at the beginning of the next series of shofar blasts known as the Zichronos. In the Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, there are three middle brachos, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and each set of brachos has their own set of tekiahs. So there's a transition point that's being featured over here, where he Moshach B'Shnia, the second tekiah, meaning the tekiah following the trua at the end of the Malchios brachos, he blew a rather elongated tekiah with the hope of it counting not only as the end of the first set of shofar sounds, but the beginning of the next set of shofar sounds. So one long blast, he was hoping would count as two. Then he reads the source says, "Umoshach b'shniyah kishtayim." He blew the second tekiah that was that represented the end of the first set of shofar sounds, hoping that it should count also as the beginning of the next set. Ein biyado elo achas. He gets credit for only one tekiah. Vamai, why does he get credit for only one? Tisalek lo betarti. It should count for two, just like according to what Rabbo says, that the hearing the beginning without the end is fulfillment, and hearing the end without the beginning is fulfillment. So why not say over here that the beginning of his tekiah should count for the end of the Malchios shofar blasts, and the end of that particular blast counts for the beginning of the Zichronos, the next set of tekiah sounds. The Gemara says that Rabbo never attempted to accomplish something like this through his teaching. Psuke tekiasa. Psuke means to break something apart, to split something into two, to split one tekiah note into two. Psuke tekiasa mehadodi, from one another, to separate the two halves from one another. Lo paskin, on that we don't do. We don't break them into two. Toshma. Well, we raise another question, though, against what Rabbo taught before. Hatokeh l'soy chabor, o l'soy chadus, o l'soy apitas. A person who's blowing in a pit, in a dus, a built-up stone-walled pit, or a pitas is a large barrel. Im koil shofar shoma yotza, v'im koil havora shoma lo yotza. If you hear the sound of a shofar, so you fulfill your obligation. If you hear echoes, you don't fulfill your obligation. But why is it that when you hear the kol havara, the echoing, why is it that you don't fulfill your obligation? V'amai, leipuk b'tchilas tkiah mekami d'la'arbev kola. Let him fulfill his shofar obligation by hearing the beginning of the tkiah before it starts reverberating. The fact that, though, this source says you don't fulfill your obligation, so that would lead us to indicate that hearing the beginning without the end, you're not yotze, and that's a kashan rabo. Ki ko'oma rabo. The Gemara now restates rabo. Rabo's din was not regarding someone listening from the outside of the pit. B'toikea v'oilu l'nafshe. We're talking about someone who is together with his shofar, and he's blowing for himself. So he starts blowing while he's in the pit, and as he's blowing, he rises above the pit. Ihochi, if that's the case, my lemeimra. So what do I need Rabba to tell me something that's so obvious that you are in fulfillment? My answer is, there is a need for Rabba. Mahu detemo. I might have thought, zimnin demapik reshe, v'akati shofar babor. Sometimes as you're rising, your ears might rise above the surface of the pit, and the edge of the shofar is still inside the pit. V'koma arbiv kola, and there is a reverberation that he hears, and he wouldn't be yotzei with hearing an echo or a reverberating sound. Komash Malon, so Rabbah is telling us we don't have to concern ourselves with that possibility that that might happen, but rather we'll assume that the person will say his ears and his shofar remain on the same level, that the blasts that he makes, the sound that he makes while the shofar is in the pit, his ears are also in the pit, and as the sound continues, so his ears rise above the surface of the pit together with the shofar. As you can see, there's a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new halacha, a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a nosei mivneh heading, where we combine the topic heading with structural note. The house shape indicates deos, beinyin, shofar shel oila, and shlomim, a shofar coming from an animal that was dedicated to be an oila sacrifice, and a shofar coming from an animal that was dedicated to being a shlomim sacrifice. Now, in general, things that are sanctified, one is not to derive benefit from them. We call hano. Sacrifices are dedicated, they're sanctified, and one is not to benefit from them. With regard to certain kinds of sanctity levels, we'll talk about kochim for a moment. If one does derive personal benefit from them, so he's in violation of me'ilah, and the animal, the kochei kochim, then becomes chulin. It loses its sanctity. Not so in the case of an animal that has kochei kalim status, the lower level sanctity. It doesn't lose its sanctity by your having benefited from it. The prohibition of benefiting from items that are sanctified is known as an isur mi'ilah. And in general, when one violates mi'ilah, so he has to offer compensation to the Beis HaMikdash, and then he has to also bring a korban osham, an osham mi'ilois. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, b'shofar shel oila lo yiska vim toka yotza. A shofar from an ola animal that he cut off of the animal while it was still alive, so he's told not to use it, but if he does use it, so he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah. B'shofar shel shlomim lo yiska vim toka lo yotza. However, the horn from an animal dedicated as a shlomim, you're told not to use it, and if you do, you are not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Gemara explains. First, we have to ask my taima, why the distinction. So the answer is oila bas meila hi, a korban oila, being that it has kochei kochim status, it's subject to the meila prohibition. Kevan de moal ba yotza lo lechulin. Once you derive personal benefit from it, so the animal becomes mundane, it becomes chulin, common. Shlomim, a korban shlomim, on the other hand, which we said has kochim kalim status, the lav b'nei me'ila ninu, they're not subject to the me'ila violation. Now, we mentioned before, but we didn't emphasize maybe enough, at the point that one is moyel, the animal or the item loses its sanctity, it becomes chulin. The shlomim, though, doesn't lose its sanctity. Isurhu derachiv behu v'lo nafki l'chulin. The isur, the prohibition, remains, and it doesn't become mundane. So it remains sanctified, and hence you're not yotzei with using a shofar that's sanctified. Maskiflo Rava challenges this. He asks, Amas Moal, at what point does the Me'ila take place? Lebosar de Toka, after. Bosar means after he did the blowing. Ki ka Toka bisura Toka. When he did the blowing, though, it was still Osir. it was still holy. And as such, why then, in the case of the Ola, do you say that you do fulfill your requirement? Elo Omar Rava. Therefore, Rava says, and you see another house, so this is a second opinion, he says, Echod zeh v'echod zeh, whether it's an Ola or a Shlomim, loy yotza. You do not fulfill your shofar requirement. Hodar Omar, and now Rava himself has a turnaround, and this is why we portray this as a second version of Rava. Echod zeh v'echod zeh, whether it's an Ola or a Shlomim, yotza. You do fulfill the requirement. What you'll ask, but isn't it usur? Isn't it sanctified? How can you fulfill your mitzvah with something that's not really yours? It's sanctified. The answer to that is mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu. When we speak about something being usur, an ola or a shlomim as being usur, it means it's usur for you to derive personal benefit. But mitzvah fulfillment is not considered personal benefit. And therefore, using these holy items and hearing the shofar sound from that is not considered a me'ilah violation or an inappropriate use of the shofar. Now, we don't want you to l'chadchila use these things, but if you did, you nevertheless do get credit for it, and it's not considered as if you were deriving personal benefit. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. The general structure will remind you of the Gemara we just did, of taking two items that seem to be similar to one another, and yet there's a contrast with regard to mitzvah fulfillment. On the side, under our No Say heading, we feature shofar shel avodah zarah. We'll talk about a shofar of an idol, an idolatrous shofar, and ir hanidachas. That's a shofar found in a city that was guilty of public idolatry. The Torah says that items found in such a city, all the metatil and all the portables are gathered together and are burnt. When we speak about things that are idolatrous, that are usur as associated with something that was worshipped in idolatry, so there isn't a specific burning requirement that you must burn it, but we tell you that it is usur to benefit from it. Omar Rav Yehuda. We continue in the Gemara. B'shofar shel avodah zarah lo yiska. One should not blow a shofar that's associated with idolatry, that was used in the service of an idol, and which thereby becomes osur b'hana. V'im toka yotza. But if you did blow it, so you fulfill your requirement. B'shofar shel ir hanidachas lo yiska. The shofar from a city guilty of idolatry, you're not to blow from it. V'im toka lo yotza. But if you blow from a shofar found in such a city, you do not fulfill your requirement. My time, why the distinction? Ir hanidachas, when you deal with ir hanidachas, and we mentioned the moment before, that all the portables in an ir hanidachas are to be burnt, to be destroyed through burning. So we look at them, since that is their ultimate end, we look at those items as if, in our mind's eye, as if they're already burnt. Well then, kituse mechtas shiure. Kituse literally has to do with something that's smashed apart. Shiure means the dimension. We saw in our previous shiur that a shofar has a minimum size to it. It must be long enough that you could clasp a shofar in your hand, and the two ends visible, protruding from your closed around the shofar. So it has a minimum size. An item, though, that the Torah says you must burn, so we look at it already before it's actually burnt as if it's burnt, thereby reducing its size to nothingness, and hence it doesn't have the minimum shofar size requirement. And again, we see a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. Before we begin the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei Mivne heading. We have a triangle that appears, and they represent Memros Shel Rava. They're comments of Rava. Beinyin Hamudar Hano, where one forswears benefiting from Aleph Mechavero, benefiting from his friend. Beis Chefza, from an item. So you have emphasis placed on a person and secondly on an item. Two different cases. So we have here comments of Rava. You'll just notice structurally under each Rava and following each triangle there's an Aleph and Beis. You have Rava, first triangle, Aleph and Beis, two cases, and the second Rava, two cases. Omar Rava, Hamudar Hano Mechaveroi. A person who vowed not to benefit his friend. He withdrew benefit from his friend. Mutar l'skoyel lo tkiyo shel mitzvah. You are nevertheless allowed to blow for him tkiyo, the shofar of mitzvah, the Rosh Hashanah mitzvah of listening to a shofar. You can provide this fellow that you vowed not to benefit, but enable him through your blowing to fulfill his mitzvah requirement. Now this ties into what we said earlier, that what was the vow? The vow was, do not provide benefit. Yeah, but mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvah fulfillment is not considered personal benefit that would otherwise fall under the category of hano'ov, pleasure. Of course, spiritually, there's no greater pleasure than fulfilling a mitzvah. But in the realm of vows and what Hanol indicates, that has to do with more of a physical, bodily pleasure. And only that was restricted, but not this spiritual sense of accomplishment of having done a mitzvah. So if you were Mudur Hanol Mechaver, you withdrew or restricted your friend from benefiting from you, you can nevertheless provide for him the benefit of fulfilling a mitzvah. Hamudu hano mi shofar. A person had vowed not to benefit from a shofar. Mutar l'skoa bo tkiya shel mitzvah. You can blow with the shofar sounds of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar mitzvah. And what you would not be allowed to do is to use the shofar, let us say, as a device for holding a beverage and drinking from it. And you would also not be able to use the shofar for playing music, making musical sounds with it. But when you're talking about blowing the shofar for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah, the commandment of the Rosh Hashanah shofar blowing, even though you vowed not to benefit from this particular shofar, you still can use it for the mitzvah of shofar. V'yoma rovo, hamudur hano mechavero. A person who swore not to benefit his friend. Maze olov mechatos b'moys ha'kshomim, avolo b'moys ha'chama. Maze is the sprinkling of mechatos. Mechatos is the para aduma water. It's a red cow that was burnt and its ashes mixed with water drawn from a live spring that serves to remove, to purify someone who is tome mace. So Rava tells us that one can sprinkle the poraduma water on someone provided it's cold outside. It's yemois hakshamim, it's the winter season, which is the cold season, the rainy season in Israel. The rains fall during the winter season. So the water getting on this person isn't going to cool him off. It might even create a certain sense of discomfort. What there is benefit, the spiritual benefit of being purified. So we see, again, that where the only benefit that is being created is a spiritual, non-bodily benefit, even though you vowed not to benefit the fellow, you can provide him with that service. But avalobi meisachama, you can't sprinkle the poraduma water on him during the summer, the hot season, where besides the spiritual purification from death defilement, he will have physical, personal, bodily pleasure and being cooled off in the heat. And since he's mudur hanome chavero, he vowed not to benefit the fellow, so you can't sprinkle the Por Aduma water on him in the summer. Hamudr Hano Mi Ma'ayon, a person who swore not, who vowed not to benefit from a particular spring, Toivel Bo Tvila Shel Mitzvah V'Maisach Hakshamim, he can immerse himself for an immersion of purification. A Tvila Shel Mitzvah is an immersion for mitzvah purposes, to purify himself, provided it's in the winter time, where he's not going to have bodily physical enjoyment from the cool water. It's cold outside otherwise. Avol lo yibei moisachama, but he cannot immerse himself, even though it's a tefillah shel mitzvah, but not in the summer, since he had vowed not to benefit from this spring. And as we defined before, benefit has to do with physical bodily pleasures. We have a slash mark once again indicating a new trend of thought, and on the side we have the following under our no say, our topic heading: Mitzvos Tzrichos or Ein Tzrichos Kavona. This is the beginning of a very famous Talmudic sukya. Mitzvos, in order to fulfill a mitzvah, do you have to have mitzvah intention when doing the mitzvah in order to get mitzvah credit? Or possibly Ein Tzrichos Kavona, that you don't have to have mitzvah intention. There's another concept, misasek b'mitzvos, where you're involved in doing something where your mind or your intention is for something totally different, something else other than the action required for the mitzvah. We'll see more about this as we go on in the Gemara. Sholchulei Lavod Shmuel. A message was sent to the father of Shmuel. In fact, we saw an example of a message in our previous year also, where a point of law was sent to the Avod Shmuel. So the following was sent to him: Kofoi V'Ochal Matzah Yotzah. Someone was forced fed matzah on Pesach night, on the 15th of Nisan at night, when we have a Torah obligation to eat matzah. Person here was kofo. Kofo means he was forced fed matzah, and he ate it under those under duress. He fulfills nevertheless the mitzvah of matzah. Kofo man, who forced him, I lemo kofo shade, if it's the force of a demonic character, which in more contemporary terms would mean that he's psychologically bankrupt. He's out of it. He's lost his marbles. He's gone crazy. Is that the case? Is such a person under such circumstances in fulfillment of the mitzvah? For Hatanya, we have the following teaching: Itim cholim itim shayt. A person who has say psychological lapses. Sometimes he's cholim, means he's normal, he's healthy, and sometimes he's shayta, he's insane. Kishu cholim arehu kepikech lichol dvar. A person like that, we say that when he's in his state of normalcy, this might be characteristic of certain forms of schizophrenia, where there are tremendous mood changes or psychological changes. When he is normal, so he has the status of normal regarding all matters that halacha requires normalcy. Kishu shoita, however, when he's experiencing his state of insanity, harehu kashoita l'chol dvarv, he's considered as a shoita, as an imbecile, or as an insane individual regarding all matters of halacha. And generally speaking, someone who is a shoita is not included in the realm of halachic obligation. So that having been said, if he was he consumed the matzah, being that he was internally forced by some type of a psychological rupture, We wouldn't say he's yotzei. We wouldn't say he's fulfilled his matzah obligation. And in fact, someone like that, that if he comes to a few minutes later and he regains his normalcy, we will tell him, you have to eat matzah again. What you ate while you were in the state of insanity, you don't fulfill your obligation. So what was sent to Avuah d'Shmuel, which indicated that a person under duress is yotzei. Omar Ravashi, shekafuhu parsayim. He was forced by Gentiles, in this case, parsayim, the Persians. So that even though he, when eating the matzah, he did not have any intention of fulfilling his matzah obligation of the first night of Pesach, nevertheless, he ate matzah, and that's enough for him to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Omar Rava. Some have a girsa here as Rabba. So Rabba says, Zoisoy Meres, that it follows from this, Hatokea Lashir Yotza, that one who blows a shofar for the purpose of song, of music, he will be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah shofar. The Gemara asks, Pshita, Hainu Hach, is this not obvious? In other words, what do I need Rabba's teaching here for? Once I know the halacha that was sent to Avuah d'Shmuel concerning Kofoi Vochal Matzah, that is Yotzei, where there was no mitzvah intention, and yet we say that he is in fulfillment. Here too, there was no mitzvah intention. He was blowing the shofar for musical purposes, not for mitzvah purposes. But it's so obvious that he would be in fulfillment of his shofar requirements. So what do I need Rabba for? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema. Without Rabba, I would have thought, Hasam echol matzah omer rachmona v'ho ochav. The Torah says instructs the Jewish people, eat matzah. And he ate matzah. So he's done everything the Torah requires. And Rashi adds, very importantly, four lines from the end of the Rashi, v'nehene b'achiloso, and as he was eating it, granted he was under duress, he was forced by them to eat it, but as he was eating it, he benefited, he enjoyed the food that he was eating, in this case, the matzah. Hilkoch, Rashi goes on, Hilkoch lav misaseku. He's not considered a misasek. Misasek has to do, once again, like we said earlier, a person doing an action, thinking that he's doing one thing, and it turns out to be something else. In the case of the matzah, though, that's not the case. He is doing, he's eating, and that's what the Torah said, eat matzah. He's not considered misasek. We continue back in the Gemara. Avol. We're now at the top of Amud Beis. Here, in the case of the Tokea Lashir, the person who's sounding the shofar for musical purposes, Zichron Trua Ksiv. The Torah uses the term Zichron Trua, that the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a trua, there's a shofar blast. V'hai misasek be'almahu. This person is blowing a horn, a ram's horn, for musical purposes. So without Rabba, I would have thought that this is more, we'll say, disjointed or disconnected from what the Torah's anticipation, what the Torah's obligation is. The Rabbeinu Hananel says it very simply. You could see on the right hand side of the column, the beginning of the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, Hosam toichlu matzah sam rachmona vo'achle. In the case of matzah, the Torah says, eat the matzah, and you ate matzah, albeit under duress. Aval hocha ve'inyan tkios kavonas halev bo'inan. But in the case of the shofar blowing, so the Torah said zichron trua. This is a matter of mind, that your mind, kavonas halev, means your intentions have to be on the mitzvah. So that's what I would have thought. Let's go back into the Gemara. Komash Malon, on the second line from that, Komash Malon. And now here Rashi fills in very important information. Komash Malon, Rava is telling us, the Afagav de Misaseku, even though he is involved with music, and what results is a tkiya sound, yotza, the mitzvos ein tzrichos kavona. He does fulfill his requirement, because in order to fulfill a mitzvah, you don't have to have mitzvah intention. All that matters, according to Rabbah, is the result. So that if you were blowing a shofar for musical purposes, but in the course of doing so, you blew what is in reality a tkiya sound, so bottom line, you heard a kosher sound, even though you are lacking mitzvah intention. Alma kosovar rabba. So we conclude from this that rabba holds mitzvos ein tzrichos kavona, that in order to fulfill one's mitzvah obligation, he fulfills it even without mitzvah intent. In other words, we're interested in the result, not the intent. Before we continue, we have a geometric formus, and which means a structural note must be taken into account of. And on the side under our mivneh, you see the triangle point facing up. We indicate, first of all, this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take type discussion. The triangle point facing up are represent kushios al rabo. They're going to be questions challenging rabo. The Omar mitzvahs ain srichas kavana. He said that mitzvahs don't require mitzvah intention in order to fulfill the obligation, and so we'll be questioning him on that. And the inverted triangle tshuvos, responses. Now the Gemara, Eisvei. We challenge Rabbah. You just said that mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. What about the following mishnah from Maseches Brochas? Hayokare b'Torah v'higia zman ha-mikra. A person was reading a Torah scroll, and the time for the kriyashma obligation set in. Every day, a person is required to say kriyashma b'shach v'chol v'kamecha, in the evening and in the morning. So you have a person who's reading from a Torah scroll, and the time for the mitzvah of kriyashma arrives in kivein libo yotza. Obviously, he's reading from that section of the Torah in which the kriyashma paragraph is found. So if the person has intent, it says in kivein libo yotza. V'im lab lo yotza. And if he doesn't have intent, so he doesn't fulfill his obligation. My lav, what does this not mean? Kivei libo lotseis, provide that he has to have intention. Lotseis means to fulfill the obligation, the mitzvah obligation. So what's the source saying? If you have intention, lotseis, to be yotzei the mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah, then you get credit. If you don't have mitzvah intention, you don't get credit. That's a kasha on rabba. The Gemara says loy likrois. What the source is saying is you have to have intention for reading. The Gemara asks likrois hokokori. What do you mean he has to have intention for reading? He is reading. He's already reading. What do you mean he has to have intention for that? The Gemara answers bekoire lahagia. The source in Maseches Brochas was dealing with someone that was lagias to check for mistakes, proofreader. So if you're reading the Torah as a proofreader, you're not necessarily enunciating each word. You're scanning the text to find a mistake. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us, if you are checking a Torah for mistakes, and the time for Kriya Shema arrives, if you start reading properly as regular words, that's in Kivein Libo, if he concentrates on proper reading, then he will fulfill his obligation. But again, he doesn't have mitzvah intent. He simply changes his reading mode into normal reading as opposed to the type of reading characteristic of a proofreader, whereby he's not even pronouncing the words. Toshma. Well, we're challenging Rabba though again. Hoya oiver achori beis hakneses. A person is passing behind a shul, or a person dwells in a home or an apartment next to a shul. V'shama kol shofar kol megillah, and he hears shofar sounds, or he hears the Megillah on Purim being read. Im kivein libo yotza, im lav lo yotza. If he has intention, he fulfills his mitzvah and of either shofar or Megillah. If he has no kavana, he's not yotze. My lav, does this not mean im kivein libo lotzeis? That he has to have, if he has intention to fulfill the mitzvah, that would then be a challenge to Rabbah, because from here we're seeing that you will fulfill the obligation only if you have intention for fulfilling the mitzvah. He says, "Well, that's not what's spoken about here. Lishmoya. He has to have intention to hear." What do you mean intention to hear? Lishmoa v'shama. He hears. So the Gemara says, "No, savor chamor bi'almohu." What's happening here is a person is, let's say, passing by a shul and he hears a sound and he thinks that he's hearing a donkey braying. If he thinks that he hears a donkey braying, so then he will not fulfill his obligation. However, if he is kivei libo, he has intention for hearing a shofar, in other words, he imagines that he's hearing a shofar, he'll be yotze, even though he's not concentrating on the shofar as a means for fulfilling the mitzvah that is upon him. He simply identifies it properly as a shofar, and he hears a shofar sound. We will tell him, you have now fulfilled your mitzvah requirement, even though you didn't have mitzvah intention. Eisve, we raise an objection again. And here we're going to speak about shofar blowing. Niskavein shomea v'lo niskavein mashmia. The listener has kavona, but the one making the sound doesn't have kavona. Mashmia v'lo niskavein shomea, or the one who is blowing the shofar, possibly reading the Megillah, he has intention, but the listener does not have intention. Lo yotza, that also is not a means of fulfilling. Achi iskavein shomea mashmia, until both have kavona, both the listener and the person making the sound. Bishlamo niskavein mashmia v'lo niskavein shomea. This case we can understand. A person niskavein mashmia, the person blowing shofar has intention for blowing the shofar, and lo niskavein shomea. What does that mean? Kosovur chamor bi'amahu. He thinks that he hears a donkey braying. And so the source says that someone who thinks that he hears a donkey braying, he won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Okay, that's not a challenge to Rabba. Elo niskavein shomea v'lo niskavein mashmia, hechi domi. But to have a case where the shomea, the listener, has intent, but sound producer, the mashmia, he doesn't have intent. Hechi domi, hechi mishkasa, how could that be? What does that mean? What are the circumstances? Lav betoikea l'shir? Is it not a reference to someone who is blowing for the purpose of producing music? So we have in this source, it says he is not yotze. So what are we saying then? Who is not Yotzei? We say that the person who is blowing with the intention of producing sheer music is not in fulfillment. What then do we see? We see a challenge to Rabbah. Rabbah had taught that from the law of Kofoi, we had Kofoi Parsayim by the Matzah Yer Yotzei. So Rabbah then said, well, this shows us that Tekeh Lashir is also Yotzei. Here we see, not so. So the Gemara answers, no. The case of Niskaven Shomea Velo Niskaven Mashmia is not where the Mashmia is Tokea Lashir, but Dilma de Komanbich Nevuchi. The expression translated Manbich Nevuchi might mean barking noises, but more importantly, it's what Rashi says. The Einoi Tokea Keshiur Tkia. If he's making sounds that are not the required length of a shofar sound, of a tkiah sound. So under those circumstances, so there would be no fulfillment of obligation. Omar le Abaye, elo me'ato. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a no say, but we also indicate hemshich. The general topic here is Baal Tosef, the prohibition of adding to the Torah, adding to the mitzvahs of the Torah. For example, if the Torah says that you're supposed to celebrate a holiday for 7 days, and you celebrate it for 8 days, that might represent an Isur of Baal Tosef. Or if the Torah says that you are supposed to take a lulav with hadasim and aravas, and you take, in addition to hadasim and aravas, you stick in a maple leaf, that would be adding to the Torah. That's Baal Tosef. One is not allowed to do that. So on the side, we've written, Kehemshich l'sugya de mitzvahs einan tzrichas kavona, as a continuation of this particular idea, the idea that Rabbah introduced, that mitzvos don't require kavana. Simply going through the motions of the mitzvah is enough to fulfill your obligation. Obviously, in the ideal world, we want you to have mitzvah intent. But if necessary, a person will be considered in fulfillment even if he doesn't have mitzvah intent. He's gone through the motions. He's produced the physical requirements that are necessary for the mitzvah fulfillment. That's enough. Well, if you follow that line of thinking, HaGemara Dona B'Isur Baal Tosef, the Gemara will be analyzing this realm called adding, the prohibition of adding to mitzvahs. Kagoyin, hayoshin b'shmini b'sukkah. For example, someone who sleeps in a sukkah on the night of the eighth day, what we call shmini atzeres, and he sleeps in the sukkah. Let's talk for the time being about Eretz Yisrael, where the holiday of sukkahs is a 7-day holiday. The following day that we call shmini atzeres in Eretz Yisrael is for all intents and purposes a separate holiday. So let us say someone sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth night. He should be subject to malchus. Malchus are lashings for violating the negative command of do not add. The afal pi she'eino miskaven l'shul mitzvah, even though he doesn't have mitzvah intention. Hare b'foyal osa ma'isa mitzvah. But in reality, in practicality, he's gone through the motions, the ma'isa mitzvah, the motions of the mitzvah, v'havei ma'isif, and he's thereby considered adding. So Abaye wants to continue this trend of thought that was started by Rabbah on Omar le Abaye. Abaye raises as a question, if you will, Hayoshen b'shmini b'sukkah yilokeh. If a person sleeps, who doesn't sleep in the sukkah for the purpose of the mitzvah, But once you tell me that someone who doesn't have kavona is as if he has kavona, someone who doesn't have mitzvah intention, it's as if he has that mitzvah intention, so it would stand to reason that someone sleeps in the sukkah in this additional time period, he should get lashed for having been over, for having been in violation of Baal Tosif. Omar loy, so Rabbo responds, She'ani oimer, mitzvos einoi oiver alehem elo bizmanon. One does not violate Baal Tosif unless it's the time that's assigned to the mitzvah. Shmini Atzeres is outside the realm of Sukkos, so it doesn't lend itself to Baal Tosif. When is Baal Tosif a possibility? When you're in the time frame of the mitzvah itself. For example, a person, as we said, on the middle of Sukkos, he adds to the four minim, he adds a fifth min to his lulav and esrog. He has, like we said, a maple branch. Or a person, when he's wearing the tefillin, he adds a fifth compartment. Or a person adds a fifth tzitzis, a fifth set of fringes to his garment. But adding to a holiday beyond the time period, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. So let us try to restate this. The exemption of one who sleeps in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is simply because it's not the time of the mitzvah, but not because you would otherwise require intent. Mosiv Rav Shamon Bar Abba. Note that this question lasts a number of lines. Now, Rav Shamon quotes a Tanaic source that we're going to refer to in this sugya as a brisa. Generally speaking, in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, you've probably noticed, those who are veteran listeners, we don't make distinctions between sources that are Mishnayos versus sources that are brisos. On occasion, it is necessary. The Gemara makes it necessary for this to be highlighted. So here, we're pointing out that Rav Shamon raises a question from a brisa source. What does it say? Minayin l'koyen sha'ilo l'duchan. From where do we know that a koyen, he is one that does the what called birkas koyhanim, the priestly blessing, in communities outside of Israel. So most communities outside of Israel, you'll find this practiced on the holidays, and in Eretz Yisrael, in some communities in Eretz Yisrael, it's done every single day in the morning davening, so that a kohen is oilu l'duchan, he goes to the platform, or he goes to the raised section where the birkas koyhanim takes place. Now, Birchas Kohanim is made of psukim that the Torah dictates. Yevorecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, yoyer Hashem pono v'lecha v'chuneko, yisu Hashem pono v'lecha v'yosem l'cho shalom. That's it. So, what about a coin that becomes imbued with the need for adding to the Birchas Kohanim? Well, he's not to do that. So the source deals with this issue. From where do we know that a kohen that's oilu l'duchan, the kohen that rises to offer the birkas kohanim, shelo yoimar, he should not say the following. He shouldn't say in his mind the following three lines. Hoyo v'nosno li Torah reshus levorech es Yisrael, since the Torah has given me permission to bless the nation of Israel, oisit brocha l'achas mishali, I'll add my own brocha, kegoin Hashem elokei avoseichem yosef aleichem. He has a new pasuk for the purpose of Birkas Kehanim. From where do we know he's not allowed to do that? Talmud Lomar, lo yisoyisifu al hadavar. The Torah says, do not add to that which I've given you here in the Torah. And the Torah, as we said, specifies three verses that constitute the Birkas Kehanim and nothing more. Now, v'hohacha, kevan de borech lei. In this case, what if we describe someone who finished the Birkas Kohanim and he says, I want to add a bracha? Well, has he not? He's finished Boruch Leh, he's finished Ovro Leh's Mane, So the time of Birkos Kehanim has passed. The Katoni Dover, and still, even though the time has passed, he still is subject to be in violation of Baal Taisif. So this is a question on what Rabbo had answered before regarding the Yoshein B'Shmini B'Sukkah, that there's no Malkus because there's no Isser Baal Taisif after the time. Well, here we see that there is an Isser Baal Taisif after the time. The Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'delo siyem. Here, where there's a prohibition of the Kohen adding, is where his intention is to add the brocha, the blessing, in the middle. He hasn't finished. But we have a brisa that says that he has finished the formal three psukim, and he still cannot add another brocha. And if he does, he'd be in violation of Baal Taisiv. Someone says, no, that's not the case. It's not that he finished everything. Siye brocha achas. The brisa says finished, it means he finished one brocha. So he's still in the middle, and hence he's subject to Baal Taisiv. Question, Vatanya Siyim Kol Birchoisov, but we have a brisa that says that even when he finishes all of the formal three verses, the Kasid Birchos Kehanim, he still will be in violation of Baal Taisif. So once again, this is a kasha on Rabbah. Rabbah said before that the reason for a Yoshein B'Shmini B'Sukkah that he does not get Malkus is because there's no Baal Taisif after the time. Here we finished the time, and still there is Baal Taisif. The Gemara says, Shaini Hocha, the case of Birchos Kehanim is different, and you should also note, marking-wise, this is a long answer. It says, Shaini Hocha, Kevon De'ilu Misramilei Tzibur Achrina Hodar Mevorech. The case of Birkos Kehanim is not really a case of the time having passed. Because granted he finished all the brachos, but if this Kohen would chance upon another tzibur, another minion that is praying, and they have they reach Birkos Kehanim, he will participate. Kule yoima zimnehu. The whole day is considered within the time of Birkos Kehanim. Since even though in this particular minyan you finish the Birkos Kehanim, since at that time it's possible that in another minyan they would need to do Birkos Kehanim, you're considered within the time. Umina Tamra, from where do I know this? That even though you finished something, you're still considered within the time. So the Gemara cites a Tanaic source that deals with sacrificial blood applications on the Mizbeach, on the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. Disnan Hanitnin b'matono achas shnisarvu b'nitnin b'matono achas. A type of sacrifice that has one application on the altar, the blood of that sacrifice gets mixed up with another sacrifice that also has a singular blood application. So we have, let's say, two bowls of blood getting mixed up, where both of them represent that kind of sacrifice that requires only one application. Yinosnu matona achas. So give, means place one, or do one blood application, and you get credit for both sacrifices. We say there's representative blood for both sacrifices. And each sacrifice itself only necessitates one matnas dam. Another case, matan dalid b'matan dalid. Two sacrifices. Each one of them have the requirement of four applications. So if you have two sacrifices, each one having a four application requirement, what do? Yinosnu b'matan dalit. So you will then make you'll make four blood applications. You'll perform four blood applications. thereby representing both sacrifices, and you get credit for both sacrifices. What about this case? Matan dalid b'matan achas. If you want to be more specific, a korban chatos gets mixed up with a meiser behema, or with a bechor. These are sacrifices that have one matana. A korban chatos has four matanas. Or korban oila also has two corners, which represents four sides of the mizbeach. But we have an imbalance here. You've got one sacrifice requiring multiple applications, with the other sacrifice having a solitary application. What do you do now? Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yunosnu b'matan dalid. Rabbi Lezer says, do four applications. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Yunosnu b'matan achas. Do only one blood application. It can be said that for all sacrifices, if you do a singular one, so certainly according to Rabbi Yeshua, that will be enough. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, Harehu oiver al bal tikra. By doing only one blood application, when you have blood there that requires four, you're in violation of tigra, of reducing or minimizing, subtracting from what the Torah expects. And you're not allowed to subtract from what the Torah expects. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says in response, according to your way of doing four, Harehu Oifer al Baal Tosif, regarding the blood that is in this mixture that requires only one application, and now you're going to do four, you're in violation of doing more than the Torah requires. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Lo nemar bal toisif elo keshuba atzmoi. Rabbi Lezer says that the problem of bal toisif is only when something is in isolation, not when it's mixed with something else. So that as far as the problem of bal toisif that you're asking about on me regarding the bechor blood, but it's mixed together with the chatos blood that requires four. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua lo nemar bal tigra. Ela kishu ba'atzmoi. So, by the same token, the restriction, the violation of diminishing, of reducing, of subtracting from what the Torah expects, is only when the item that has a specific number is in isolation, and you would subtract from that requirement. But in this case, it's not in isolation, it's mixed with Bechor blood. So there's no Baal Tigra problem. V'yoid Amar Rabbi Yeshua, and furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua says, Kishalono Sato, when you cease, like I say, when you do less, when you just do one, Avarta al Baal Tigra, V'lo Asisa Maisi Biodecha. Maybe, granted, according to what you're trying to say, that there is a Baal Tigra violation, but at least I'm not doing something proactively. However, Kishanosato, when we follow your way of doing four Matnas Dam, when included in the blood is a korban that has only one application required, Avarta al Baal Toisif, you're in violation of increasing, and not only that, but you're doing it proactively. And now, to get to the main point of the question, or actually the main point of the answer, that is, the proof that we're bringing to what we said before. Kevon di yohiv le matona mi bechor, ovro le lizmane. Once you did the first application, as far as the bechor is concerned, you've done one application that will enable you to fulfill the bechor requirement, so that the time regarding bechor is now finished. The katani de ovar mishum bal toisif, and we're taught in this source that you are in violation of Baal Toisif. You can be in violation of Baal Toisif. Lav mishum di amrinon. Is it not because that the time really hasn't passed. Kevon de ilu misrami le buchra achrino. Hodar mazemine kule yoimozine. Since if you would have another bechor sacrifice to process, you'd have to do another blood application, another bechor blood application. Therefore, the whole day is considered within the time frame. Therefore, same thing with regard to the Birkas Kehanim, that those are not examples of, that's another example of something where the time frame has not passed. And therefore, why has the time frame not passed? Just like we said there with the Kohen, even though he finished his brachas in this particular congregation, if he meets upon another congregation, a Tzibur Achrina, you see how we've highlighted with a diamond Tzibur Achrina, just like we highlighted here Buchra Achrina. We said there, if you would come across a Tzibur Achrina, the Kohen would still make, still recite the Birkas Kehanim in this new congregation, the second congregation. So the whole day is considered within the time frame. And that we can see evidence from this Mishnah that spoke about the blood mixing. So all of this is brought in to bolster Rabba's original response, and that is that first of all, mitzvahs ain't sriches kavona. And if you'll ask, well then, a yoshein b'shmini b'sukkah should get malchus based on Baal Tosef, even if he doesn't have intention for the mitzvah of sukkah, he nevertheless is in violation, because intention is not important. So Rabba said, there is no Baal Tosef when you're outside the Zman of the mitzvah. As far as the examples of Birkas Kehanim and the Matnos Dam, you were within the Zman of the mitzvah. And that's why there was a possibility of being in violation of Baal Tosef. The Gemara asks, Mimai, who says like Rabba's answer, Dilma Kosova Rabbi Yeshua, mitzvos over alehem afilu shelo bezmanon. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that you are over on Baal Tosef even after their time has gone by. And if that be the case, then as Rashi says, these two Tanaic sources, the Braisa involving the Birkas Kehanim and the Mishnah regarding the Matnas Dam, will represent a problem for Rabba. Rabba based his whole approach on the fact that you were still within the Zman of the Mitzvah. But if you were outside the Zman of the Mitzvah, there would be no problem of Baal Tosef. Here's a Tana, Rabbi Yeshua, who doesn't agree. So what then is Rabba's defense for his position? The Gemara answers, Anan hochi ko'amrinon. When we initially brought in our defense of Rabba's response that one is not over Baal Tosef unless you're within the Zman of the mitzvah, but once the Zman passes, there's no longer Baal Tosef, his response works as follows. Rav Shamon Bar Abba, my time on, if you have any problem finding him, use the star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you work your way up the page. His name is underlined there as well. Rav Shamon Bar Abba, my time on Shovik Masnisin Umoisiv Mibraisa. Why, in order to make his point, when Rav Shamon Bar Abba asked his question, there was a question where after Rabba had answered that there's no Baal Tosef after the Zman, so Rav Shamon Bar Abba tried to ask, We see by Birkas Kehanim, they finish the Birkas Kehanim, and there still is Baal Tosef. Now, why did Rav Shaman Bar Abba ask from the Braisa? He shavik masnisim. He left aside the case of the Tanaic source, the Mishnah source of the blood mixing, and he chose to ask his question from the Braisa, from the Kohen that's Oyla L'duchan. Loisiv masnisim. Why doesn't he raise his objection from the Mishnah? And raising objections from Mishnaya sources are stronger type questions than when you're raising an objection from a Braisa source. Why doesn't he ask from the... Why doesn't he try to prove his point or prove his question that there is Baal Tosef even after the Zman from the case of the Bechor Chatos blood mixture? Masis in my time alone, Mosif. So why is it that he didn't ask from the Mishnah case of the blood mixture? Kevon de ilu misrami le buchra achrina boi mazamine kule yom zmanehu. Because he was well aware that since if he would chance upon another Bechor, he would have to, on that same day, he would have to do another Bechor, he'd have to process that second Bechor, making the whole day as within the time of the mitzvah. And therefore, it's understandable that there's an Isser Baal Tosef. Well, by the same token, Braisa Nami, with regard to the Birkas Kehanim, the source that Rav Shaman tried to ask his question from, it's not a question. If he would chance upon another congregation, he would have to make the Kohen would make a new set of he would make a new Birkas Kehanim. Kuliyom Azmane, the whole day is considered its time. So that is our defense of Rabba, or Rabba's defense is that the whole day is considered within the time. Just like Rav Shaman Bar Abba himself would acknowledge that analysis from the case of the blood mixture, so the same svara of in this case, Sibur Achrina, applies to the Birkas Kehanim case as well. Well, what about Rav Shaman Bar Abba? What does he have to say about this? Was the Gemara at this point challenged or knocked out Rav Shaman Bar Abba? So Rav Shaman Bar Abba comes back. And that's why we have a triangle with the point facing up. This, in effect, would reinstate the problem, at least from Rav Shaman's perspective. Rav Shaman Bar Abba, he says there is a difference. Hosam, in the case of the Korban issue, lo sagi de lo yohiv, and it's impossible for him not to do it again. Where in other words, if there's another bechor that comes on the scene, so of course he has to process that. Hocha, in the case of the kohen, I boi mevorech, I boi lo mevorech. A kohen who finished saying Birkas Kohanim in his particular minyan, in his congregation, and if he chances upon another congregation, he is not obligated to participate in the Birkas Kohanim in that second obligation. And therefore, as far as that is concerned, once he finishes his brachas, he's considered as if the time has passed. And yet we saw that there was still a Baal Tosef possibility. And that was Rav Shamon's question to Rabba. We continue. Again, in the topic here of Baal Tosef, Rava Omar. And you'll notice that we have an Aleph here because this is the first of two versions of Rava. Rava Omar, Lotseis Lo Boi Kavona. In order to fulfill a mitzvah obligation, As long as you do the action that's necessary, even if you don't have mitzvah intention, you fulfill the mitzvah. La'avor boi kavona. However, as far as to in order to violate the prohibition of Baal Tosef, of do not add, you're not going to be in violation unless you have kavona, unless you have intent that you are doing a mitzvah. In other words, it's a wrongful intent, but you have to have the intent, in other words, that I'm taking my lulav and esrog, kadas and rovas, and maple leaf with the intent that I'm doing it as the mitzvah. And only then would you be in violation of Baal Tosef. The Gemara asks, V'ha matan domim l'Rebbe Yeshua delavor, the case of the blood mixture, where we had the chatas blood getting mixed up with the bechor blood. There, that was an issue of lavor, of Baal Tosef. The low boy kavana, Rashi explains several lines from the end, four lines up from the bottom. V'ho matan domim shein miskaven b'sha'ar matnosiv l'shein b'chor. And those additional blood applications where Rabbi Yeshua, where he was challenging the approach of doing four matonas that was suggested by Rabbi Eliezer. Those after the first matnas dam, he was not having bechor intention. He knew that after the first blood application, that's all that's necessary for the bechor blood that's mixed in there. The next three were for the chatas korban that has a requirement of four applications. So there's a case of he didn't have kavana, and yet he is over. So that's a challenge to what Rava wanted to say. Rava just got finished saying that to be in violation of Baal Tosef, you have to have intention as such. You don't see that in the case of the Bechor. He didn't have Bechor blood intention during the subsequent three applications, and yet Rabbi Yeshua claimed that he would be in violation of Baal Tosef. Elo Omar Rava. Lotseis lo boi kavona. In fact, to be yotzei mitzvahs lo tzrichas kavana, you don't need to have mitzvah intention in order to be in proper fulfillment of a mitzvah. La'avor, however, when it comes to the violation of Baal Tosef, it depends. Bizmanoi loy boy kavana. Within the time frame of the mitzvah, remember we said before regarding the matnas dam, the whole day is considered within the time. So there, in fact, you don't need kavona to be in violation. However, shaloi bizmanoi boy kavona, if you're beyond the time of the mitzvah, and that would be in the case of the yoshin b'shmini b'sukkah, he slept in the sukkah with non-mitzvah intentions, he would not get malkois because he doesn't have mitzvah intentions. And therefore, that's the case of shalom bizmano. In order to be in violation and to then warrant lashings, boy, come, you would have to have mitzvah intention. Omar le Rabbi Zera l'shamei. Rabbi Zera says to his servant, and we continue at the top of Chof Tes Omer Aleph, Ichvin v'tokali. Have kavona and blow the shofar for me. Alma kosovar, we see from Rabbi Zera that he holds, mashmia boy kavona, the one who's making the noise, the sound heard, the shofar, the one who's blowing the shofar, he has to have intention. Now, Rashi, at the top line, ichven v'tokali, tiskaven l'skoa bishmi l'hotzieni yidei chovosi. Have me in mind, so that that the kavana here is that the one who's blowing has to have kavana for the one who needs to be yotze. Meisve, we raise an objection to this. The Mishnah says, Hoya oiver achori beis haknesses, o shoya beis samach beis haknesses, one who's passing behind a shul, or his apartment is located near a synagogue, v'shama kol shofar kol megillah, and he hears the sounds of a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or he hears a megillah reading on Purim, im kivein liboy yotza, v'im lav lo yotza. If there is intent, so there's fulfillment, and if not, no fulfillment. V'chikivein liboy mai have, and if there is intent, so what? If the listener has intent, so what? Heich lo ko mechavein adaito didei, the one who was mashmia, the one who was blowing the shofar, didn't have you in mind. So the Gemara says, he did. He had me in mind. Hocha b'shliach tzibor askinon. The daite akule amo. Here, we're not talking about some private individual who's sitting in the shul blowing the shofar or reading the Megillah, but rather we're referring to the shliach tzibor, the person who's charged with this, the chazan, the cantor, the official representative of the congregation who is doing either the shofar blowing or the reading of the Megillah. So when you're dealing with someone like that, he has intention for anyone that is going to listen. Ta shma. Well, we have a source, and we're going to see again a challenge to Rebbe Zeira. Niskaven shomea, veloi niskaven mashmia. Niskaven mashmia, velo niskaven shomea. Lo yotza, ad shiskaven shomea umashmia. So the source describes where you have two people, one who is listening and one who is making it heard. So you are not going to be in fulfillment until both parties have intention, the shomea and the mashmia. Kotoni mashmia dumio de shomea. The source teaches about a mashmia similar to a shomea. Ma shomea shomea atzmo, just like the one who's listening is listening for his own benefit. Af mashmia mashmia li atzmo, so too the one who is making it heard, he's not the shliach tzibur, he's mashmia liatzmo. And so therefore, we have a situation that's not like the case before, where we pushed off the question by saying, we're dealing with a shliach tzibur. We're dealing with someone who is making it heard, he's blowing the shofar, he's reading the Megillah for himself. V'kotoni lo yotza. And the source teaches me that if you have a case of niskaven shomea and lo niskaven shamia shmashmia, you're not yotze. Likewise, in the case of niskaven mashmia, lo niskaven shomea, you're not yotze. Now, we have to add just one point of information in order to see the problem. The mashmia, the one who's making it heard, is not yotze. And this is a point, by the way, that you can see in the note brought by the Rav Ranchburg, the Rabbeinu Betzalel Ranchburg, who quotes the Vilna Goin in explaining this, that in the source that we read, It says niskaven shomea veloy niskaven mashmia, and likewise niskaven mashmia veloy niskaven shomea lo yotza. It's lo yotza is taught in the singular. Now it says mashmia is not yotze, but the shomea is yotze. That is a problem for Rebbe Zeira. So you can see the question is understandable only if you insert this particular note. And you can see this by, we can look together at the Rav Ransburg on the side. Vehagoin, in the middle of his note, Vagoin me Moreno Rav Elio mi Vilna Zatzal Pirush midiktoni lo yotza, beloshon yachid. From the fact that the expression lo yotza appears in the singular, velo katoni beloshon rabim lo yotzu, it doesn't say in the plural they are not in fulfillment. Shma mino derak hamashmia lo yotza. This shows us that only the one who was making it heard is not in fulfillment. Avol hashomea yotza. Af deloy niskaven lo hamashmia. So that if you have a case of niskaven shomea, velo niskaven mashmia, yotza, the listener is yotze, even though the mashmia did not have intention. So what was Rabbi Zera all concerned about before when he told his shamish, you who are going to be tokea, I want you to have me in mind. You see from here, from this case, we saw niskaven shomea velo niskaven mashmia. The listener had intention. The one who was blowing the shofar did not have the listener in mind. So all we say is that the mashmia, he is not yotze. He didn't have shofar intention, but the listener had intention. So the listener is yotze, even without specific kavona on the part of the mashmia. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi. The issue is a machloikis tanoim. Disanyo, shomea, shomea liatzmo, umashmia, mashmia lefi darkoi. The listener, he listens as he goes along. And the mashmia blows even without having any intention for the listener to fulfill. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Bamed v'mumurim. Under what circumstances would we say such a thing? B'shliach tzibor. That's when you're dealing with the official public representative to read or blow the shofar for the public. Avo b'yachid lo yotza. But in the case of private individuals, there would be no fulfillment ad shi iskaven shomea umashmia, until you have the intention of the listener and the one who is producing the sounds. That is like Rabbi Zera, but the Tanakama is not like Rabbi Zera. And as we said, this was a machloikes tanoim, this issue of how much kavona is necessary on the part of the mashmia, the one who is making the sounds heard. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.